The Gospel according to St. John, the 20th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. On that day, the first day of the week, and the doors of the house where the disciples were gathered were locked for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." And then he showed them his hands and his side. And the disciples rejoiced when they saw that it was the Lord. Then Jesus said again to them, "Peace be with you. As the Father sent me, so now I send you." And then he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. But if you retain the sins of any, they are retained." That's the good news, the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Now, if there are any kids around, I just wanted to talk to the kids a little bit about what Sunday we are celebrating. We're celebrating Pentecost Sunday, and behind me, at the lectern was the symbols of the Holy Spirit, the fire and the dove. And on the other side over here, we have "For all the saints." And the doves were a reminder of the Holy Spirit coming down upon them. Remember in the story about Jesus' baptism, the dove descended, or the Spirit came down upon Jesus and lighted like a dove would light. They flop and they coo and they're really neat when they do that. Well, the Spirit comes down upon them gently, and in our gospel, our first reading today, we heard that it was like tongues of flame. Can you imagine a flame hanging over you, a flame that's not really burning, but a flame that shows the symbol of the Holy Spirit coming upon us? So that's the meaning of Pentecost, or the beginning of the meaning of Pentecost. Today, I would like to have you try to imagine, as I was sharing the gospel with you, were you able to imagine what was going on there? Remember, the disciples are in the room in which they probably had the Last Supper, and the doors are locked for fear of the Jews. Now remember, they were with Jesus. They left their fishing nets, they left their tax tables, and they came to be with Jesus and followed him for 3 years. They saw him do all of the miracles, the healings, the casting out of demons, the raising of the dead to life, the walking on water, you name it, changing water into wine and making a picnic lunch into enough to feed thousands. They knew all of this. So that's part of them. But they also saw Jesus beaten and hanging on a cross. They saw his body riddled with whip marks and scars, hanging on the tree and taken down. Some of them even helped carry his body to a tomb. And there was no doubt in their minds that Jesus indeed was dead. And the tomb was sealed. Now, with this in mind, they're puzzled. They don't know what to do. Even though Jesus has told them several times that he would rise from the dead. And even though the women had come from the tomb and said, "He's alive, he's not here, he's not in the tomb." They're still befuddled. They don't know what to do. They don't know how to deal with all of these things that have happened. If you can imagine being there with them, now imagine Jesus just appearing right there before you. Wow. Would that shake you up? Is it a ghost? Is it real? But then Jesus shows them the wounds in his hands and in his side. And they know that it's Jesus and they rejoice. But Jesus doesn't stop there. Jesus says to them, he breathes on them and he says, receive the Holy Spirit. Now, some people may think of that as being just a little bit strange. Why would somebody blow on other people? In fact, what they're telling us about this pandemic is that it's our breath that is the most contagious, that we should cut down our singing and our reading together and all those things that we would do in a public space. Here Jesus is breathing on them and says, receive the Holy Spirit. But it comes all the way from the book of Genesis, where it is the breath of God. In the Hebrew, it's called the Ruach Elohim. And this breath of God blows over the waters and separates the water from the land. And it's the breath of God, the Ruach Elohim, that breathes into Adam and Eve and brings life into them. And now it's that breath of God, the life of God, that blows into the disciples. And they are changed. But Jesus has also given them a mission. Because you see, they're kind of like an orchestra that hasn't tuned up. They're in this room. They don't know what they're going to do or how they're going to do it. Jesus was their director before, and now their director is gone. If you've ever been to a concert where a band is tuning up beforehand or an orchestra, it sounds pretty noisy and pretty weird. But once they get tuned up and they can all play the same tune in the same key, it's beautiful. I'm often amazed at those people who have that ability. And that's what Jesus does. He pulls the orchestra together and he gives them a mission. He gives them direction. They can follow his direction because he says, as the Father sent me, I send you. It's not as if he's saying, well, I'll bless you and now you can go home and do nothing. He gives them the direction. Jesus says, God blessed me and now I bless you. He sent me, now I send you. I was thinking about how we often get that message wrong. And we forget the second part of it, the going out again. I was thinking of a man who belonged to a church where they had an altar call every week. And every week he would come to the front and kneel down and he'd lift up his hands and he'd cry, fill my cup, Lord, fill my cup. And every week he would leave the church and lead a very unchristian life. This went on week after week, month after month. One Sunday he did the same thing, came to the front of the church, knelt down and lifted up his hands and prayed, fill my cup, Lord, fill my cup. Well, some little lady in the back of the church evidently had seen enough of this and the way he lived his life. She shouted, don't do it, Lord, he leaks. Well, our problem is, some of us leak too. We don't always play the tune that God has given us to play. We don't always follow through with what he wants us to do. I found a song. It's an odd song, but one that to it, another tune that we do know. It goes like this. I love your church, O God. Her walls are beautiful, but when I can't be there, oh Lord, it's hard to live. A charge to keep I have, a God to glorify, but Lord, expect no cash from me, your glory comes too high. Am I a soldier of the cross, a follower of the Lamb? Yes, though I seldom pray, I still I still insist I am. Must Jesus bear the cross and all the world go free? No others, Lord, should do their part, but please don't count on me. Well, the disciples didn't stop there. They continued to look for direction from their director, Jesus. It says in that reading that they devoted themselves to prayer. It was their one connection they had with God above and God and Jesus himself to find out what it was Jesus wanted them to do and how he wanted them to do it. A famous artist who specialized in stained glass was really noted as one of the best artists around. He had an apprentice who was learning the trade and who practiced daily and did everything the master said, and he tried his hardest, but he just couldn't quite get the art right. It just didn't look as good as the master's. And when the master was going on a vacation, the apprentice said, Master, would you mind if I borrowed your tools? Because he was sure that it was the tools that made all the difference. And the master allowed him to do that. And so, while the master was away, he worked and he tried and he practiced. But his stained glass just didn't have the same quality that his master had. And when a visiting artist came by, he was telling him about his problem, that he had worked at this and he had even used the master's tools, but it didn't make any difference. His art just wasn't the quality that the master had. And the visiting artist said, young man, what you need is not the master's tools, but the master's spirit. And that's what makes the difference. I have to admit that I am in awe of many people who have special skills, either in art, or my wife does quilting, and I look at some of those and I'm amazed at how beautiful they are. And in music, now I play the piano and the organ and guitar, but I'm more like the apprentice, an amateur in the biggest sense. So I really admire people like Julie, who play so beautifully. I can give her a piece of music that I've tried to plunk through in my way, and mine sounds more like chopsticks. But when she takes that music, the spirit of that music is in her, and it sounds so much better. The same thing is true when we met a number of the professional musicians when we lived close to Branson. They had this some spirit that would make ordinary music turn into something really beautiful. Well, that's what we are called upon to do, is to allow the Holy Spirit to fill us and be able to live through us. And that's what Pentecost is really all about. You noticed how on Pentecost the Holy Spirit came upon them and they began to speak in languages that they didn't normally know, the languages of all the world, so to speak, that other people could understand. That Spirit got into them. One of our problems is illustrated by a baseball player who was asked in an interview if he could meet anybody in the world that he would really like to meet. Who was it he would like to meet? And his comment was, well, I'd really like to meet God, but I'm in no hurry. The problem he has, and that some of us have, is that we have this image of God living up there somewhere, you know, maybe on another planet, maybe in another universe, somewhere way out there. And we forget the message of Christmas. That no matter where God was, God came to live among us as one of us. And that He has never left. Lo, I will be with you always, he has declared. And he has. And Pentecost is a reminder that his Spirit permeates everything we are and everything we want to be. If we have heard the word of the gospel, if the word has even been read as we open our Bibles and read it, the Spirit of God has literally come into us. Because you see, we are the body of Christ. We are the church. As Paul described it in Romans, all of the gifts of the Spirit come, but to each one as it's needed. Not so that we all are great pianists. We are all great quilters. We are all great artists, or we are all great ball players. Each gift is specific to that person for the things that that person needs to have. We are the ones who are called upon to allow the Spirit to move in us and through us. And we have to gather, as the disciples did, to remember that they were self-quarantined for a while. But it didn't stop them. Even while they were avoiding the authorities who would arrest them and put them in prison, they continued to share the word, because they knew that the gospel could live through them. We have the opportunity to do the same thing, even in this time of pandemic. We can be praying, come Holy Spirit, fill us with your power, fill us with your gifts, so that we too may share the good news throughout the world. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.